Good evening. You're watching Left, Right and Centre. I'm Rishika Barua. Top story tonight. Virat Kohli steps down as the test captain of India, makes a stunning announcement on social media. Our second story tonight. Ayodhya, Mathura is a no-go for Yogi Adityanath. He's going to contest from his home turf in Gorakhpur, and only 9 of the 86 candidates announced in the Congress's first list for Punjab are women, prompting the question, is the 40% women reservation only for Uttar Pradesh? But our top story tonight is Virat Kohli. After having been one of India's most successful test captains with 40 wins, Virat Kohli has stepped down. The decision comes after India's loss in the three-match series to South Africa and less than 3 months after he decided to step down as T20 and ODI captain. Joining me on the show this evening, we have Sharda Ogra, senior cricket journalist, Sarandeep Singh, former India selector and cricketer. Yajurvinder Singh, former cricketer, is with us. But I want to first go across to Rika Roy. Rika, is there more to read than the South Africa series? Many would believe this has been brewing, but coming in this evening on social media took everybody by surprise.
That's right, Rishika. Good evening to you. Good evening to our viewers and our guests. Virat Kohli did it all in his inimitable style. He put it out on social media for his millions of admirers that he was giving up on test cricket. But, let's know more from our experts at this hour. Sarandeep Singh has been one of those stalwarts and has been one of those key persons who put him as a test captain when Virat became the captain 7 years back. Sarandeep, did you see this coming?
Rika, it's very difficult to say that this is coming. I don't expect this coming it like so early. Yeah, that's fine. Means Virat, few months back, when he left T20 captaincy, he said he wants to be an ODI test captaincy. But suddenly, then selection committee decide, well, we need a one white ball captain. So Virat was not there. That's fine. That selection committee's decision. Then, but now the test match is coming. Virat just won it in the England. The way Indian cricket play, the way we are playing test matches is phenomenal. But suddenly, a series lose in South Africa. I'm not saying it's coming so quickly from Virat Kohli that he quit the captaincy. That's actually putting everyone's shock. So I know tough times comes when everyone's, but you, when you have that stage where you need an and you are the one of the world's best, finest players, and means pressure is all there all the time. But suddenly doing this, it's actually means shocking for everyone.
All right, let me then bring in Sharda Ogra into the conversation. What could have prompted this decision if many say that they didn't see it coming?
It was surprising. But I think when Virat Kohli went to South Africa, he was pretty much putting his captaincy on the line there because he had had a clash with a verbal sort of disagreement, a contradiction of words, what he said between what Saurav Ganguly and as a BCCI president and the chairman of selectors. So it was literally like he was going there to and putting his captaincy on the line. I was just chatting with someone today who suggested that, listen, maybe if India would have won the series, he still would have quit. You know, so he decided that now he wanted to, we are mind reading when we're making these assumptions, but maybe he just wants to concentrate on his batting. The series didn't turn out exactly as he wanted. He didn't make a lot of runs and we didn't win. So I think this was maybe one way to just see how things will pan out now in the future.
Yajurvendra Singh, if I may come to you, how will this quitting of captaincy impact on Virat Kohli, the batsman, going forward? He's been phenomenal till 2 years back. He's notched up 70 hundreds. Quite unbelievable in this short span that he's done. And since then, he's been on a low run, 79 coming in the second test, in the second innings of the last test. But where does he go as a batsman from here?
I think it will be good for him. That's maybe one of the reasons that he's quitting captaincy, is wants to concentrate much more on his batting. Tendulkar did it earlier as well. And I think he wants to get free out of all those sort of pressures of captaincy. And I think it'll be wonderful for his batting. The one whole year he has not got 100. Although that 70 odd which he made was brilliant enough, more than what you would call in 100 as well. So it's just, I think it'll be a phenomenal well for his batting. I don't think batting will be as an issue.
And Yajuvendra, I would just like to point out one thing here. Yajuvendra, I'll just like to point out one thing here. When he was giving up his T20 captaincy, he spoke about workload management and that, you know, he was been captaining all three formats, playing all three formats. But here, while giving up test captaincy, he only speaks about the effort put in, the honesty, the hard work, and not for once has he spoken about workload.
No, so it's not the workload what he's talking about. He's just saying that he's given enough time. He wants to take a break. And that's okay. I mean, that's something personal. Maybe what Sharda said, there are certain waves which have happened, you know, which have been not very good where he's concerned. I think all that has culminated together and he's decided, yes, let's just go and concentrate on my batting and on my family, by the way. So, because I think the bio bubble has also played a massive part in people's lives, and especially somebody like him who's been in the forefront all throughout. So, we have to give him that, that benefit of doubt and say, okay, just go about, just go and get runs. And for India, that would be fantastic. Yeah.
Rika, if I can bring you into the conversation, and if you want to just, you know, rewind, you've covered multiple controversies over the last couple of months. Would you, Rika, also reckon that this is perhaps a battle with the BCCI that he didn't want to fight anymore, that it had gotten very ugly?
Well, you see, over, you know, if you look at the board's history over the last many decades, it's traditionally been that the power has vested in the power has been vested in the office bearers, and they are the ones who've controlled the board. Though of course, you know, with Sourav Ganguly and Dalmia, they have worked together very closely. Again, MS Dhoni and N. Srinivasan, they have worked very closely. We didn't see that happening with Kohli and Ganguly. Of course, there has been a PR disaster by the BCCI. You know, there have been many thoughts which have probably been lost in between. You know, things have got lost in translation. We don't know exactly what's playing out from the two sides. I have sent a message to Sourav Ganguly asking what his reaction is. But, you know, there's been radio silence from him. And of course, you know, it feels a bit weird that Virat Kohli puts out this social media post and pat comes a reply from BCCI. Oh, you've played so many tests, won so many tests for India. Of course, it seems like, you know, they've instantly accepted his resignation. It's almost like giving, you know, a 30-second soundbite in reply.
Yes.
So we really don't know what has happened between the two. But it seems like a public relations disaster, definitely.
Sharda, would you agree? A battle that he just refused to fight any longer?
Yeah, you would say it looks like that. It doesn't sound that like he and the BCCI president and the office bearers are in sync in some ways. So there had been some sort of miscommunication that happened. Like she said, like Rika said, lost translation. I think in a way what happened a couple of days ago on the third evening, where he completely went into this absolutely meltdown state. Maybe there was a sense of desperation that the series was going. But again, until you're told what happened, until he writes his book or makes his biopic, we won't know what happened. And maybe after that, we can also.
Okay. Yajurvinder Singh, who succeeds him? The big question that everyone's already asking.
It says Rohit Sharma. He's already the vice captain. And so when Sri Lanka comes, it will be Rohit Sharma, definitely.
All right.
Do you agree with that, Sarandeep, Rohit Sharma succeeding him?
I'm not really think that Rohit Sharma is going to be there. Because if you're looking for the future as a selector, if I'm a selector, so I'm talking as a selector, we are looking for another 5 to 10 years. Who's going to give it him? And Rohit Sharma is already 35 years old and he's still not fit. he's still injured. Means he has that tendency. Means he played 2-3 series and against he gone for 3-4 months. He got injured. So it's very difficult to say that Rohit going to be captain. You never know if he's fit for another few months or not. So at the moment which I'm looking is like KL Rahul who did the captaincy. And there is another player, if you said after KL Rahul, who's the one? I always feel Rishabh Pant is also the person who's playing all three formats. Then he's a good captain. He did captaincy there for Delhi Capitals. If I talk about KL Rahul, means he's, if you see about Kings 11, he's not at that good as his captaincy. But still, if Rohit is not fit, I'm think KL Rahul is your captain. I'm not saying Rohit Sharma as a test captain. Not at all. It's not at this time. Because if you see like the future captaincy goes to KL Rahul or Rishabh Pant. These are the two people who are playing all three formats and performing over there.
Sharda, a bigger question is about Team India's future now in this World Test Championship cycle. Virat Kohli quitting in the middle of eight. Right now, we are number five on the table. Where do you think India might end in this cycle?
Big prediction, you know, to make. But it looks tough. A couple of other teams, they've got easier fixtures coming up there. So, whoever is the new India Test captain, he's got a lot of, on his plate. Whether it's a short-term succession or appointment of Rohit Sharma, or is just for a few months, maybe a year, a little bit, then we'll see how KL Rahul will take over. But it's a tough job on their hands. And at the same time, they will have the memory of what Kohli and before him MS Dhoni were able to do. And there's a lot of pressure on whoever's going to take over the job at the moment. So I think Sarandeep has made a very valid point about, you know, fitness, accessibility of Rohit Sharma to all these many games. And are you going to take that chance over, say, the next year or so? Or are you looking for long term? KL Rahul is 29. So you're saying that he's at the peak of his, at the prime of his batting of his career, prime batting of his career. So maybe that would be a better bet, but we have to see.
All right. Well, thank you all very much for joining us. The story clearly isn't over. There is a lot of mystery that, like Sharda said, when he writes a book, maybe we'll know more about what happened. Thank you again for joining us. But from the game of cricket, well, let's shift our focus to the Game of Thrones. The BJP has released its first list for the Uttar Pradesh election. The Congress has released its first list of 86 names for the Punjab polls. But Yogi Adityanath is going to fight the Uttar Pradesh election from his stronghold of Gorakhpur, not from Ayodhya, not from Mathura, as was widely speculated. Is Gorakhpur really the safer option is the question that we're asking tonight. Also, in Punjab, Chief Minister Channi and Navjot Singh Sidhu are going to be fighting from constituencies they both won in 2017. Charanjit Singh Chinni from the Chamkaur Sahib seat and Navjot Singh Sidhu from the Amritsar East seat. Now, actor-activist Sonu Sood's sister, Malvika, who joined the Congress this week, has been given a ticket from Moga. The sitting Congress MLA from Moga has quit and joined the Bharatiya Janata Party. But 9 out of 86 in the first list of Congress candidates are women, begging the question whether the 40% women's reservation was only for the state of Uttar Pradesh. Well, joining us tonight, Aarti Jairath, senior journalist. We have Hardeep Kingra, chief media panelist and spokesperson of the Punjab Congress. Ranbir Singh Pathania, spokesperson of the BJP. And Nahid Lari Khan, spokesperson of the Samajwadi Party. Mr. Ranbir Singh, to you first. The choice of Gorakhpur is something that is being talked about. It was widely speculated and almost certain, according to sources, that the chief minister would contest from Ayodhya or Mathura.
You see, madam, Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath, he's a popular figure. Not only popular figure, he's a street name in Uttar Pradesh. Where from? And anywhere he fights, he will win with a landslide margin. You keep assured he will win with a landslide margin and he will sail through. The Bharatiya Janata Party with a thumping majority, with two-third majority, Bharatiya Janata Party will come to power in Uttar Pradesh. And so far as you yourself pointed out, I'll read the statement of Aradhana Mishra. She is the CLP leader of Congress from Uttar Pradesh. While releasing the list of candidates from Uttar Pradesh, he labels Bharatiya Janata Party as anti-women and says every list henceforth, her statement, I'm reading it verbatim, every list we are about to release henceforth shall have 40% reservation for women. But the other day, you have yourself pointed out only 9 out of 86. This is
no, we'll come to that. We'll come to that and we'll get, no, we'll come to that and we'll get the Congress spokesperson to respond to that as well. But you're saying that this decision to fight from Gorakhpur was something that the central leadership took. It was a decision ultimately taken by the Prime Minister. Why was Ayodhya and Mathura, you know, in the running but not considered?
You see, Bharatiya Janata Party is totally a cadre-based party. First of all, there's an input from the ground. We could not even ground, I'll use the word, from the grassroots level. And that grassroots level input is being screened at the mandal level.
But many would say this is a safer bet. He's won and gone to the Lok Sabha 5 times over from there. So this is a safer seat. Would you agree with that?
You see, in the fitness of, I'll not say that this is safer and other is less safe.
Okay.
As I am sticking to my stand, the parliamentary board of Bharatiya Janata Party, in the all fitness of things, and whatsoever has come from the mandal level, from zilla level, and from the state level, so they have decided it.
All right.
You keep, please.
Okay. Well, Nayak, do you want to respond to that? You know, we heard Akhilesh Yadav, he was almost immediately ready with a response saying, you know, Yogi Adityanath has been sent back home, etc., etc. How do you look at this decision? Is Akhilesh Yadav even going to contest? That's the other big question everyone wants to know.
See, Rishika, this is today's newspaper, right? In today's newspaper, a list was released wherein Yogi Adityanath's name was right on top that he will contest from Ayodhya. Okay, I hope you all can see the list.
Okay, now, but the newspaper may have gotten it wrong.
I'll let you know. See, for small things, Adityanath ji, he did not deny immediately. He did not deny until afternoon that he's not going to contest from Ayodhya. Okay. And this is false news.
Point that you're making?
No denial. I'm making the point. No denial came from BJP's side. And Adityanath ji, you know, he comments on small things, but there was no denial from BJP's side. Now, earlier it was said that Adityanath ji, BJP said that he will contest from Mathura. But what happened in Mathura, Shri Krishan ji said that no, there is no entry for these Chunavi Bhaks in Mathura. Don't come to Mathura. So, Adityanath ji was ulte paav bhaage. Then, without invitation, BJP made Adityanath ji reach Ayodhya. Now, from Ayodhya, Shri Ram ji said that no. These Chunavi Bhaks, they cannot enter Ayodhya.
Okay.
We have staunch Bhaks.
What's your point?
Pavan Pandey. We have staunch and real Pant Bhaks. Pavan Pandey.
Okay. So you're saying Mathura and Ayodhya didn't want him?
No, yeah, I'm making the points. Just give me a second.
This is a good fairy tale.
Just allow me a second.
Okay,
now when he's reached to... I didn't interrupt when you were speaking. See, please. Then now he's reached to his temporary house, which is Gorakhpur. So it is better that Adityanath reaches his native place, his place where he was born, China's border. It is better he goes...
You didn't answer my question though on whether Akhilesh Yadav is going to contest. Because Yogi Adityanath is contesting. Is Akhilesh Yadav going to contest? You didn't answer my question.
See, I'll answer both your questions. Just allow me a second. I'll finish it up. See, he should contest. Adityanath should go to his Janam Sthali.
But I'm asking you about your leader.
My leader, see, I know my leader, Honorable Akhilesh Yadav ji, is so popular, not only in Uttar Pradesh, but in the entire country. His popularity is, the sky is the limit for his popularity.
Okay.
So I understand that everybody is curious
Not eyeing the state, but eyeing the country? Is that what you're indicating?
I'm not indicating that. Okay. I'm indicating that he is very popular and everybody is very interested in knowing and hearing about him.
So you're not giving us any answers. Let me also highlight a very important point. Allow me to highlight a very important point that the Congress spokesperson, the BJP spokesperson also made, and the Congress spokesperson must answer. Mr. Kingra, you know, the big question here is the big headline as far as the list that the Congress party has released for the state of Punjab is the fact that there is a 10% representation that's been given to women, prompting many people to ask whether this 40% rule is only for Uttar Pradesh. Your response?
No, Rishika ji, there are two kinds of decision in politics when it comes to the election. One is the strategical decision and another is the tactical decision. Your situation in Punjab has changed with the four major parties in the fray. It's a four-cornered contest. So people will have to amend their strategies. So
you're saying your strategy is only for UP?
No, UP will have its own tactical strategy. There is a strategical move that is a different, but tactical we will have a different kind of moves. UP and Punjab, you can't apply the same principle in all the states. You will have to be, as far as Congress party's commitment to women is concerned, we gave the first prime minister to this country, women prime minister. And she was the second prime minister to none in the world. And then we gave the first president, women president to the country. We gave the first speaker to the country. Punjab gave the first women chief minister.
So you're essentially saying that this is a strategic decision. You can't really then continue to take the moral high ground on it. Aarti Jairath, how would you look at this? Different rules apply in Uttar Pradesh, different rules apply in Punjab.
Let me
bring in Aarti Jairath. You made your point.
Very, very clearly, different rules for, different states, different strategies for different states. But Rishika, I will say this, that, the announcement of 40% reservation for women was made by Priyanka Gandhi.
Yes.
Priyanka Gandhi Vadra. And as you know, she is in charge of UP. She is not in charge of Punjab or Goa or any of the other states. My impression always was that it was only meant for UP. So, I'm not surprised that they've not given it in Punjab. In any case, in Punjab, they have to accommodate a lot of sitting MLAs, So if they start giving 40% reservation for women in Punjab, they'll have to start dropping those sitting MLAs. And I don't think they can afford that at this point of time when the stakes are so high and there's already so much turmoil in the Congress.
Okay. All right. Well, that's an interesting assessment. Aarti Jairath, you also want to weigh in on what's happening in Uttar Pradesh. What are you making of the fact that Yogi Adityanath is contesting an assembly election for the first time and from his home turf, not from a temple town?
Well, I think he's been basically sent back home. He's been boxed back into Gorakhpur.
Okay.
I think he
Is he being boxed back or is that what he wanted? That's the question that we haven't got a straight answer to.
Well, you see, there have been, conflicting reports.
Yes.
But I think Yogi Adityanath would definitely like to spread his wings beyond Gorakhpur. I think he does see himself as as a Hindutva icon, next only to Modi. If he stood from Ayodhya, which is where the entire Mandir movement began, it would have given him a huge fillip, in the creation of that persona that he wants, which puts him in line, in the succession line to Modi. I think that as far as Modi and Amit Shah and all are concerned, the high command of the BJP, the Ram Mandir is seen as Modi's gift to Hindus and to UP. Remember, I think he has stressed he was prime minister. It was when he was prime minister that the Supreme Court settled this whole dispute, which had been lingering for so many decades. I don't think the prime minister would want Yogi to take that credit away from him, which Yogi would have if he had stood from Ayodhya.
Yes.
So he's been sent back to Gorakhpur, and I think he's been told that's where you belong. Stay there. Don't, harbor ambitions of being a successor to Modi just yet. Modi is still very much around and the top leader of the BJP. And, nobody is going to be declared number two.
All right. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have on this discussion. It's been an interesting day. Thank you all very much for joining us. Before we slip into a short break, I also want to update our viewers that the Election Commission has banned all physical rallies and roadshows till the 22nd of January and also issued a notice to the Samajwadi Party after large crowds were seen at Akhilesh Yadav's rally yesterday. However, the big question that everyone's asking of the Election Commission is why has the Election Commission gone ahead and allowed 300 people indoor gathering or allowed indoor gatherings in halls with 50% capacity? Does that in a certain sense defeat logic that COVID-19 does spread more rapidly indoors? It's a question that we will continue to ask. That's all the time we have though on Left, Right and Center tonight. Good night and thanks for watching.